I'd like to turn back this evening to this account which we read, this parable in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and from verse 19. I'll just read verses 19 and 20. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And so I'd like this evening to look at two lives and two eternities. Two lives and two eternities. Once you read this parable, I don't think we can ever forget it, can we? It's such a dramatic and rich parable, a vivid picture for us of two lives and two afterlives. The reason's very simple. It speaks to us of one who was so rich in this world's good, who was lost, and one who was so poor, who was saved. One who was so rich, and yet was destitute when it came to eternity. And one who was so poor in this life, and yet was heir to a kingdom. J.C. Ryle, one of the old Church of England bishops, said this of the parable. We fancy, he said, that we can almost touch the scene. The rich man's banquet, the purple, the fine linen, the gate, the beggar lying in it, the sores, the crumbs, the two deaths, the rich man's fearful waking up, the fire, the hopeless remorse, all stand out in bold relief and impress themselves upon our minds. So this is a parable which we're likely never to forget, a very vivid and powerful parable. But it's one thing to be impressed by the parable, but it's another thing entirely to draw from it that lesson which the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to learn and to draw from it this evening. If you imagine a great painting, it may be like by one of the masters, and it may be a wonderful, intricate painting, and yet if you stand and look at it and you're not moved by it, you're not stirred by it, then something is very wrong, isn't it? We need to think of this as a vivid picture, but also one that is designed to stir us and to make us think about our life and about our death and about our eternity. Let me ask you, since you read this parable, are heaven and hell more real to you? Do you think about the reality of heaven and the reality of hell? Have you ever felt the strivings of the Spirit of God? What I mean by that is that when you read the Word of God, God speaks to you through it. Have you known God speaking to you through His Word? When you read a parable like this, do you say to yourself, God is speaking to me in this. There's something vital for me here that I must learn and understand. Maybe the voice of conscience has said to you, you are that man. You are like that rich man. You are destined for his eternity. Well, perhaps we have a sense of foreboding. We worry, we fear when we read such a parable as this. That's not the purpose of it, friends. When we read this parable, yes, it is very solemn. And yet the purpose of it is to bring us to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is the most joyful thing you will ever know in this life. And so, has this parable affected you? Has it brought these realities closer to you? Well, this evening I'd just like to very briefly look at what we can draw from the parable here of the rich man and Lazarus. There are two things this parable is not saying that we must be very clear and plain about. The first thing is that it's not saying that it's wrong to be rich. You might go home and say, well, rich men are going to go to hell, and poor men are going to go to heaven. That's not the purpose of this parable. Yes, there are particular snares and dangers about being rich. This man, he had an abundance of things, of worldly goods. Every day he was clothed, it says, in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And yet this other beggar, he had no social security to rest on, lives in squalor. And yet how different they are when they reach heaven, when they reach eternity, heaven and hell. And yet it wasn't because he was a rich man that he went to hell. It wasn't because he was a poor man that he went to heaven. Now, we've all got different places in society. God has given us different gifts and different circumstances. And some become rich, and it's wrong if they become rich by putting others down. But some do become rich, and others remain poor. And what are we to do? We're to help those that are rich to see that this life is not everything. The goods that you have will one day leave you and be gone. And so don't rest your soul upon the things of this life. And we're to help those that are poor to do all that we can to comfort them. And to remember that God has promised to provide for those who call upon him. And so this is not a parable about rich and poor, one going to heaven, one going to hell. This is a parable about our spiritual state. How are we spiritually? If we have a big bank balance, it may not actually say anything about us spiritually. And if we're poor, we could still be spiritually poor. This then is a parable which is speaking to us about the state of our souls. The rich man, he appears to be someone who is totally able to cope with life, has everything he could want, and yet take away his life, and he has nothing. There is nothing for him after death. He has no treasure in heaven. He has no advocate, no one to stand before the throne of God on his behalf. He is like the Laodicean church that Christ spoke to in the book of Revelation. He said, though you are increased with goods and have need of nothing, yet don't you know that you're poor and blind and naked? This rich man was without God, without Christ, without faith, without peace, without pardon. How shallow that life is. How hollow he really was. He dies, it says, and he is buried. But he sinks lower than the grave, and he sinks into hell and into eternal torment, losing everything. You young people here, do you seek great things for yourself? There's many snares and dangers in seeking to be rich. Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you need are necessary for life will be added unto you. But the priority for life is to seek the kingdom of God. For we brought nothing into the world. You brought nothing into the world when you were born. And it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Lazarus, then, on the other hand, he literally had nothing. It seems like his existence was pretty miserable, destitute of money and food and clothes even. No home to live in. And full of sores. Humiliated, and people were repulsed by him. What a picture. And yet, he was staggeringly rich. He was a child of the King of Kings. He was known in heaven. Think of that. Angels knew of him. God was not ashamed to be called his God. He had an everlasting treasure. A glorious kingdom in heaven. The best robe was waiting for him in heaven. That robe of righteousness that will cover his sin and enable him to be with the Lord. He had the best fellowship. We're told he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, that place which the Jews spoke of as where we go after death to rest and recline. He had the best fellowship among the saints in light. He had the best food on his table then. He had the riches of heaven. And these thoughts, no doubt, and Lazarus is pictured here, he would think of that time when he would pass from this life. He was staggeringly rich. And that's the case today, isn't it? As the Lord looks upon his people in this world, we may look at them as having nothing, as so despised and obscure and almost irrelevant to life. And yet, they are known of God. And so we should neither despise nor envy the rich. We think of those that are famous, the celebrities and so on, that come on the news and are found in the newspapers. We should pity them. They're passing through this world just as we are. And yet one day they may lose everything. When you look at a celebrity next, think, what will that moment be like for them when they pass from time into eternity? It will bring a whole new shade upon their life. We also learn here, whether rich or poor, we must die. The father of Alexander the Great, Philip of Macedon, he used to employ a servant to say to him every day, Philip, you will die. And whoever we are, whether we're rich, poor, death will finally cut us down. That's known to all of us. Maybe we put it from us and we say, I don't want to think about death. But it's real, friends, isn't it? All too real for us. After all our studying in this life and striving and seeking for the things of this world and perhaps even scheming and searching. Whoever we are, whether we live as long as Methuselah, the Old Testament, or we die young, we shall die. Whether we die not known by anyone or famous is not of any account. Our life will come one day to an end. Death will carry us off the world and bring us to that appointment with Almighty God. Even if we're a billionaire, it's not going to make any difference. And so we must learn. All must die. But notice the preciousness of a believer's soul in the eyes of God, in his sight. No doubt the rich man, he had a lovely funeral, much wailing, many mourners could be purchased and come and wail around and make a great racket at his burial procession. And yet, he had nothing. He lost everything. Soon he's in hell, in torment. Never forget how miserable the end of the rich man was. There was nothing that could bring him relief. Do you imagine that just that drop of water would bring him any relief? The dip the tip of his finger in water, he says, and cool my tongue. But Lazarus, his soul was carried away by the angels. With great joy, he entered into eternal bliss. And so, such an insignificant person, you might think. And yet, Christ looks upon you, if you're one of these little lambs in his fold. How precious you are in his sight. And when that moment comes that you pass from this world, he will receive you into eternity with great joy. We know so little, don't we? Or we think so little about those things that shall come after death. The Word of God says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. But you can see how Lazarus entered into the joy of his Lord. Angels rejoice over his soul. And angels rejoice over us when we're born again. When we come to know Jesus Christ for the first time and turn in repentance to him, there is joy among the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so the angels rejoice when we're received home into that celestial realm. The care that God takes, that Christ takes over one of his little ones. Maybe you're little here this evening. You say, well, I fear to die. There was once a little girl who couldn't get to sleep at night. And her father went in and sat on the bed and said to her, what's the problem? Well, that day she'd been told a story of how someone had been run over by a steamroller. And she said, Daddy, I just can't get to sleep. I'm so thinking of what happened to that poor man. And he said to her, my little child, it matters not where you die or how you die. What matters is what you die in. Whether you die in Jesus Christ or whether you die in your sins. That's what matters. And a smile came over her face, for she had trusted the Saviour with her soul. You see, friends, it doesn't matter if we die as Lazarus or as the rich man. What matters is, are our sins forgiven? And do we have an inheritance in heaven above? And so Lazarus, he was so despised in this world. He had so little. And yet God's eye was upon him. And his eternity was secure and safe. Can you say that here this evening? And you say, though I be poor in my own eyes, I have, as it seems, nothing. And yet, if Christ is mine, if I've trusted my soul to him, I know I shall have everything. He is my all and in all. And when death comes upon me, I have that glorious hope that I shall be found with him, which is far better than all the enjoyments of this world. And so Lazarus passes into eternity. Well, lastly, we can see that we have to live by faith. We cannot see the eternal realm. We cannot, every morning when we wake up, we don't look upon heaven, do we? We live by faith. We're looking forward to heaven. We have it in our heart. We have it in our mind's eye. We have our thoughts upon the Saviour. And yet, we have to live by faith, not by sight. Do we covet the treasure of heaven more than the treasures of this earth? Do we look at Christ and view him as a great treasure? Or do we say, well, he is something that I want, but I also want the things of this life? Well, there's the commandment, isn't there? The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet earthly things. A man's life, Christ said, consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And so this parable warns us about covetousness. Covetousness can land souls in hell. It can ruin men's lives, your life and mine, yet we are to covet the true riches of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We are to have faith in him and in him alone. He is the one who can clothe us with the fine linen of his righteousness. We can stand pure and white and clean and be free from sin and guilt. In the presence of God, we can have peace with God. We can be delivered from that wrath which God will pour out upon the world when Christ comes that second time. Joy then, everlasting joy, is found in the kingdom of God, in the presence of Christ, and everlasting life. And so no wonder Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It is a kingdom of such riches. It will never fade away. It said of Christ, wasn't it, when he was born, it was spoken by the angel, of his kingdom there shall be no end. It will be an everlasting, eternal kingdom. The kingdoms of this world fade away. In our own lifetime, we've seen the rise of America. And now perhaps we're seeing the beginnings of the diminishing of their influence in the world and the rise of other nations and our own lands. Our empire is gone. And one day the empire of our little life in this world will be gone as well. And where shall we be in eternity? Seek first, then, Christ said, the kingdom of God. In many ways, this parable is about how we see ourselves. If I was to ask you how you graded your life, would you have an AAA next to your name? Like the rich man, you're affluent. You have everything you need, you can think of. You have a certain arrogance because you believe that you've done it all by yourself. And you have an adamant soul, determined that you might reach heaven of your own works. Or would you put, like Lazarus perhaps would, D, D, D. destitute, despised, sorry, diseased, and dying. That's the true picture, isn't it, of each and every one of us as we view ourselves, if we should view ourselves before such a holy God. I'm destitute, I have nothing that I can bring to him, to offer him. I have no goodness. I'm diseased with sin. And I'm dying. I have eternity before me. How do we look at ourselves, friends? Conclusion. The true riches can be found by taking heed to the word of God, to listening to the words of Christ. He said, let these sayings, didn't he, on a number of occasions, sink down into your ears. Let them touch your heart. Let them move you and stir you. Let them open your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, that you might see that those riches of God are there. They are real. They will one day be so bright and real to all those who trust in Christ. And yet we're given this great warning. The word of God is a warning to us all. We read there at the end of the parable where he says, I pray thee therefore, Father, in verse 27, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham says in the figure here, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Well, of course, Christ was speaking to the Pharisees in particular here. They were covetous, we're told in verse 14. They have Moses. They have the word of God. Let them hear the word of God. That's the only word which they will be given. It's the word of salvation. It's the word that teaches us how to obtain those true riches and eternal life. That we must humble ourselves. That we must become poor in spirit. That we must realize that we are bankrupts and strangers and pilgrims. Here upon the earth, we have no inheritance in this earth. This world is not our home. We have clothing of filthy rags, which Christ alone can take away and give us that new clothing and give us freedom from our sins. Well, how do we see ourselves here tonight? Do you see yourself as somebody who is wounded by sin, diseased? Sin is like a running sore in your life. Hungry and thirsting after God's salvation, after righteousness, after holiness, after purity? Well, if that's the case, then the Lord has taught you some wonderful things. And by his grace, he will draw you to know the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We are to seek first that kingdom. Seek, he says, and you shall find. You shall lay hold upon life. You shall lay hold upon the kingdom of heaven and eternal life. Well, may the Lord grant that you may run unto Jesus Christ and cast yourself upon him who alone is the Saviour. Amen.